Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Caps. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to dive into rim protection, some Colin Sexton takes he has, and a little bit of just kind of other stuff going on, but that's all going to be part of a very busy week here on the show. If you're looking in the feed right now, listening to this on Monday, there is also a extra bubble episode. You can in the Under the Bubble episode that Evan did that you can go check out. I was a loser and did not get everything done like I should have. So two for one Monday because I was being a bum last week. I'm going to fall on the sword for that one. But that's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the cue.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm not too bad. I'm just, you know, hanging out, enjoying my weekend. Just real quick, you're not a loser. It happens. Like, it's busy.
I'm like Scott Pilgrim in the comic when he's like, I have to get a job. I have to get up before 12:30.
I relate to that really hard. That's how college Evan felt about starting real life soon after. But how are you otherwise?
I'm good.
That's good.
I'm good. You know, busy weekend. Had a very productive Sunday. Just chugging along. But if you're listening to us for the first time, I just want to let you guys know who we are. Who are these two gentlemen talking about the Cavs? I'm Chris Manning, site manager at Fear the Sword. Do some work at Forbes, Cleveland Magazine. Also do the Ineligible Man Downfield newsletter with Jordan Zerm. And Evan, tell everyone about you just so in case they're listening for the first time.
Hello, my name is Evan Dammer. I'm a video game cynic and anime aficionado. I also indulge and torch myself with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You can find my work at Forbes Sports, and I also help run the show at Fear the Sword with Chris. And if you don't know me yet, I'm just usually the deadpan monotone guy who tries to boost everybody up and dog on Chris on Twitter. So we're having a good time here.
Evan thinks we're going to get into a fight. I don't really think that's true.
That's Tuesday's episode.
Well, no, I even think we agree on that, and that's going to be about Ben Simmons. But why are we going to fight about that? And we'll save it for when we record that one.
Because you were hostile when I said, what's the point, when you texted me about it.
Oh, yeah, because, Evan, you know what? We need content. Okay, anyway.
That's fair.
I'm going to give you a choice here. Do you want to talk about Sexton and where you think he could be headed?
No.
Do you want to talk about Drummond first, or do you want to talk about rim protection?
Let's talk about Andre Drummond and how he's an all-defensive caliber center, Chris. He's gotten a defensive player of the year vote.
This is what I thought
and an all-defense first-team vote. He doesn't deserve it at all.
No.
Not in the slightest. And, like, Andre the person is nice. I don't like Andre the player at all. And you actually have some feelings on it because you've kind of come to a conclusion on how you feel about the trade at this point.
I'm at the point, Evan, where I think the trade was an outright mistake.
I do, too. I think Andre has the potential to tank and destroy this locker room.
Yeah.
From his on-the-court antics.
Yes. So I think that's a good way to talk about rim protection, frankly. So at Fear the Sword, if you're following along with us, we've been doing these big team need series. And basically, like, on Monday, I will write about a specific team need, why it's a need. And, you know, throughout the week, we'll do a roundtable. We'll do all these different draft stuff. Evan will do free agents, internal improvements. Rim protection is the one up this weekend. Evan, I gotta say, doing the deep dive into the B-ball index stats, watching a bunch of tape, all that stuff. I think Andre Drummond is basically just empty calorie rim protection.
Oh, yeah.
Just gonna run through some of the stuff here. So from NBA.com, in terms of like how he compares against some of the more elite players in the league. In terms of defending shots within 5 feet of the rim, he gives up 64. Last year, he gave up 64.7% on 14.3 attempts per game. So let's say Joel Embiid, who's like is like the elite of the elite, 60.1% on 16.8 attempts per game. Rudy Gobert, 60.4% on 20.4 attempts per game. And the guy that I'm most enamored with and have been bothering you about is Jusuf Nurkić, who in 2018-19, when he was before the leg injury, 56.6% on 19.2 attempts per game. If you look at all of the other stuff with him, and you compare him to even like an Vija Zubac, he's just like worse. Like he gets blocks. His block rate and everything like that is actually pretty good.
We're talking Andre, like, right?
Yes. Andre's like block rate is actually like pretty good. Like he does stuff. Like there's not like a lack of him getting counting stats. And like, I know he was like on Instagram and in a comment being like, I should be, you know, defensive player of the year candidate because I'm one of the few players that have like X number of blocks and X number of steals per game. It's a dumb argument, but
hey, he doesn't like somebody deter believes people it and they from watch the rim. Games. Yeah, no, he yeah. doesn't deter people from the rim at all.
No. So like the B-ball index stat rates him as an F in this. And if you want to compare him to like even Zubac is a C. That's like about average. A little, mm-hmm. He's a little worse than league average even. And then Joel Embiid, league best. Gasol is at the 95th percentile. Uh-huh. Gobert's at the 92nd percentile. Nurkic isn't in there because their data isn't fully updated from beyond this current season. He obviously barely played this year. So
he's played five games, I think.
Yeah, but I would assume that if you go at 2018-19, he would rate out pretty well in that. Mm-hmm. I'm working with Cranjus McBaskill to kind of get that data to you at some point. So I'll update that later in the week, perhaps on the book club show. But, Evan, I think he's, like, get stats. And I don't even, like, what he actually is good at should fit the way the Cavs play defense with the dropping
yeah.
big.
Yeah.
But he's not actually good at this.
No, and I think he touched on this a little bit ago. For Fear the Sword, where Andre is trying to be like Brook Lopez, who is a phenomenal drop big. I mean, Budenholzer's defense, you know, I tweeted about it, I think either yesterday or Friday evening. It's a lot like Atlanta, where they will die by death by 1,000 threes, and Milwaukee getting killed from three-point range has just been a consistent theme of the bubble. But no, Andre is trying to be a lot like Brook Lopez in that regard, where he's a drop big and isn't just good at it. He just is not great at it, and I don't know if that's an indictment on JB and his defensive scheme or the fact that just
it's not JB. That's I look, the sample size, if you're gonna blame it on JB, is too small. And if I just go back and watch all the Drummond stuff in Detroit and just like compare how he drops in defense pick and rolls and switching versus like a Nurkic, who I is like really the template for what the Cavs I think really need based on how he really propped up and really supported the McCollum-Lillard backcourt, which again the Cavs have cited as a template. Like he doesn't like he moves his feet. He lets the guy kind of come to him and kind of tries to angle the guy a certain way. Mm-hmm. Drummond does stuff where he just lets the guy go by him and then he tries to do like a kind of a mini chase down block on the guy. Like he doesn't actually like take. It's just like all these big highlight kind of splashy plays, yeah. And it doesn't help. Like, it does not help. And there's not, like, a track record of what he does, whether it's been in Detroit under a couple different coaches, whether it's in Cleveland, like, whatever. Like, there's not a track record for him that his defense actually is impactful. And if I'm the Cavs, yeah. And I'm considering this, and I'm thinking about this, you could have known that when you traded for him. You know, I would have – this argument was, like, pretty easily out there. And number two – If Zubac makes like $7 million and mm-hmm. is like better at Drummond than this and like costs you significantly less money, there's no reason to pay Andre Drummond the kind of money he's going to want. And I'm very skeptical that he's like an actual fix for the rim protection issues.
No, he is not. If the Cavs do prioritize rim protection as a target this offseason, I think the draft is your best avenue for it. Onyeka Okongwu is your best bet. I'm sure Trevor Agbagnati is going to touch on this quite a bit for Fear the Sword for us this week. But
yeah, a lot of James Wiseman, a lot of Onyeka. Those are the two guys he really focused on in his draft piece.
Yeah, so if you pick between those two, like, yeah, if the Cavs go that direction in the draft, like, that makes sense for addressing a need, but it doesn't change the fact that Andre Drummond is making nearly $29 million next year, and he is an exceptionally worse player who compared to Vika Zubac, who is making a fourth, possibly a fifth, if you want to get to the nitty-gritty of, no, a fourth, of what Drummond is making. And I think it just goes to show that Drummond's the type of traditional big that is a dinosaur, and I think it's kind of like, it's a bad analogy, but it kind of isn't, where you can compare it to running backs in football, where if you're a good enough team in every other regard, you can focus on other needs. You can just plug and play centers. Like, okay, actually, no, that's what the Lakers do. They have JaVale McGee. They have Dwight Howard on the cheap, which is rare, but mostly JaVale McGee is my focus here. Like, the Lakers can get cheap bigs and then have a bunch of versatile switchy defender players in LeBron James and Anthony Davis just flanking everything else. That center's just kind of irrelevant, and you just have a guy who defends the rim, rebounds, and kicks out the ball when he gets an offensive board. Like, that's all really the Cavs need Andre Drummond to do, but Andre Drummond wants to do everything at once.
Yeah. I'm very sour on this. Like, I think there's a world where Drummond, like, has the physical ability to do some of the stuff.
Oh, he'd be so good on the Clippers right now. I keep thinking about that when I watch. Like, I know I like Zubac, but Drummond's such
way
a...
more athletic.
He's way more athletic, and he's the best rebounder in the league. He would be so good for that Clippers squad, just gobbling up offensive boards, and Doc Rivers would have zero tolerance or patience for his bullshit. So I don't think... And in a contract year like this... Doc would have no trouble burying Andre on the bench if he became a problem, unlike JB and the Cavs. So it's a different situation in time. Winning changes everything.
Yeah. As we wrap up the segment, can you just give me like a quick take on where you think rim protection is as a need? I come out thinking it's pretty high, just because of the way they're building the roster.
Most needs are pretty high for this Cavs roster. I mean, rim protection's been a need ever since Timofey Mozgov had knee surgery and his Tristan Thompson isn't a rim protector. Sasha Kaun had that really nice, like, middle school, his substitute teacher drip. He was never, when he just rode the bench for the Cavs.
He's like, guys, we're going to watch a League of Our Own today. Cool. That's, like, the vibe that I get.
Exactly. So, the Cavs really haven't had a rim protector ever since Mozgov had his knee surgery, because that just kind of derailed his career entirely, but he still got paid by the Lakers, so whatever, but... It's been a priority for a while now, and I think it's going to remain one, but at the same time, I think I'd rank it in the middle of the pack because there's more pressing needs for this Cavs squad right now.
I think it might be. I actually kind of am coming out thinking it's like maybe in two or three for me, just because I cannot see how they build a competent... I can't see how they build a competent defense unless they get a guy that can kind of support these guys. And look, it's not all on the big. Like, you need the guards to not be as much of turnstiles and to do some of the stuff like Muhammad Lillard do in terms of like tagging the role man and like trying to push that guy out of the lane. And you need to do that stuff. The Cavs don't do that. Like, if you want to maximize the defensive potential of Larry Nance Jr., something I'll be writing about a little bit this week, I think you need like a Nurkic level defensive center. I think that is like one of the biggest needs, and I understand betting on Drummond and the talent and stuff to some degree, but I think I am just out on it being a thing. And we're going to talk about him right after this break, but I want to tell you guys first about a sponsor for today's show, and that's the folks over at CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you are a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or if you spend hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. First, they have CBD Freeze with menthol, an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use rollable or shareable squeeze tube. And CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need when it matters most. To make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they are offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. All right, we'll be right back talking about Andre Drummond and some of the things that he said lately right after this. Okay, Evan, so I want to just give a bit of context here. We're back here on Locked On Cavs.
Yeah, we sure are.
Evan Dermal.
We took some CBDMD products to help calm down a little bit about Andre Drummond, but I feel like Chris is going to get excited again, so the floor is yours.
Well, there's an interview he gave to a Fubo sports program. The full interview I have not seen yet. It's like behind a paywall. I don't have Fubo. I'm working with like a PR guy from Fubo to get it, so I will report back once I get it. I'm just finagling like a free trial of it to kind of figure out what's going on there. But basically, he said he's a free agent, and like I know a friend of the program, Chops, kind of indicated that he had said on the Complex Pod that Chops hosts that like he was probably going to opt out, and it seems kind of like he might be opting out.
I'll believe it when I see it, because Andre has one of, if not the second best, because Rich Paul is the best agent. And kids, if you are an NBA prospect and happen to be listening to this podcast for some reason, sign with Rich Paul. He'll take good care of you. Clutch Sports is a great agency. I have nothing but good to say about them. If they're listening, hopefully they'll want to work
Darius
with me.
Darius Garland, come on the pod.
Yeah, Darius Garland, LeBron, come on the pod. But
I'll settle for like J.R. Smith talking about soup.
Anybody from Clutch is welcome on Locked On Cavs. But back to the point, Jeff Schwartz is Andre's agent, and he is Kevin Love's agent, and he is a power player in the NBA circles, at least. And I feel like, at least from based on what I heard, and I talked about this maybe like 2 weeks ago, and Andre might be just be playing coy, just, you know, because like he hasn't officially said it. The Cavs haven't officially said anything, and Chris Fedor's reported, and I think you and I have heard, like, the Cavs aren't really comfortable officially saying anything yet. Andre isn't dumb. He acts like a big kid, but $28.7 million is $29 million, and he rounded that up, and that's a lot of money, and he's not going to get that much on the market this year, especially considering how the cap is impacted by the pandemic and everything else. And I guess technically he is a free agent until he opts in, probably in like September or October or whatever the deadline is. But yeah, no, I'll believe it when I see it. If he opts out, that changes the game entirely. And James Rapine, former Cavs coverage guy and friend of the show, he's going to be telling us DeMar DeRozan come on down yet again, and I'm going to just be a sad, sad boy.
Well, I like DeMar as a four, and he's a good dude. So you know what, you could do worse, I guess, but makes no sense basketball wise. But okay,
yeah.
I'm a little skeptical of that too, just because I don't know where he goes. Like, what is the market for Andre Drummond if he opts out this summer?
Not a 1 year, maybe expensive deal for a team who has the cap space, sure. Or if he wants to go ring chasing, he discounts himself and goes to, there's probably a ton of teams that love to have Andre Drummond on the cheap, because like I think a San Antonio would really like to have him. I think Pop could get his shit straight again. The Clippers would really like to have him. If
Pop is benching his ass if he goes to San Antonio
if he attempts a three, because Pop only likes mid-range jumpers from DeMar and
not
Marcus,
even that, so. It's just like, if he doesn't try in defense, he's getting yanked 5 seconds into the game.
That's fair, even though Pop called the bubble a learning and educational experience for these younger guards. But there's teams, I mean, Boston would be perfect for Andre too. Like Boston, I mean, I know Daniel Tice is really, really good, and I like how Boston is just kind of has, they're a good example of a team who isn't prioritizing center, but they have cheap, smart defensive options as well, them and the Lakers. But Andre would be fun there. He'd be good plug and play option for a lot of teams if he was willing to take a cheap sacrifice. But again, I don't believe he's going to leave that much money on the table when he can squeeze that much from the Cavs and then reapproach free agency next offseason, if whether that's next summer and 2021 or the fall of 2021, depending on how things go. And then just kind of explore like a long-term deal. And I've always heard like the extension talks, at least for the Cavs, it's between 20 and 25 million. And maybe that's what he's looking for over the span of annually for over 4 years. But you opt in, and then you just reapproach this next year. That's where I'm at on it. And like, he's probably just playing coy. Maybe it's like a litigation thing where he can't say like, "Yeah, I'm a Cavalier next year yet."
Yeah. Just the way he talked about it in the little bit I've seen of the clip and of the interview, he talks about like playing in Cleveland like he's getting a root canal.
Well, I mean, Detroit's not much better, my guy. I'll just say that much, but.
Yeah, but like he doesn't like seem enthused by the situation he's in. That's sort of my read on this. And I don't think that's like an unfounded new like thing. I think that tea leaves on that have kind of been there.
Yeah. I think it's been there ever since he came here, because it's been reported by many folks at this point that Andre was a big part in John Boeheim resigning because Andre was refusing to play for John Boeheim, which don't know if there's much weight to that, but it's been reported enough that you have to like consider that. But I don't know, maybe he's just frustrated or indifferent, or he's been so far away from the team at this point, because I still think he's in Miami just making music and barely touching a basketball, that he is just kind of indifferent to the situation. Maybe he just realized like, I'm just kind of indifferent to the situation, I don't know what I'm gonna do yet. But I don't know, I just, to go on the record like on a big show like Dan Le Batard's with Stugatz, but that's really going to be hard to walk back if you say otherwise. But from all sources.
I don't know about that. He played. No offense. He plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are a shitty basketball team, not in the bubble.
Whoa.
Evan, most of us have forgotten that he said that at this point, I think.
I haven't.
Yeah, but you and I like have a job to do and cover this team. Like, Cavs are a bad basketball team, and like,
I don't know. I talk to people about like free agency and the draft, and I'm like, well, Andre Drummond's going to be here, so that just kind of changes everything entirely. But that makes me incredibly nervous. I'm going to ask you a second question, but the first question is, let's say Andre does opt out and he doesn't want to come back to Cleveland. The Cavs now have roughly $28.7 million plus on in salary cap to play with. And Dan Gilbert really wants to make the playoffs next year. How nervous are you entering this free agency period then?
I'm all very nervous about everything, same. Frankly.
It does change the draft strategy considerably, too. Maybe Onyeka Okongwu jumps up from a Tier 3 guy to a Tier 2 guy if Andre does make his intentions.
Yeah, or maybe the Wiseman thing is kind of there. Look, Evan, there are Cavs pieces I really like. They're all the really young guys. It's Sexton. It's KPJ. I'm a Jetty guy. I think as a player on an actual NBA team, like making the playoffs next year is some galaxy brain shit.
Oh yeah, I'm firmly of the belief the Cavs are going to be a bad team that tries
for Cade Cunningham. That is how you fix this.
They're not going to tank, but they're going to somehow fall into a first pick, which would make me so happy if they get Cade Cunningham. But the Cavs are going to be like a bad team, like the Grizzlies and the Lakers, that were trying to make the playoffs but fail miserably, and then somehow the new flattened lottery odds bounce them to a top three pick, which, by all means, go for it.
Okay, what's your second question as we finish up this segment?
Oh, I think I just kind of looped it in as well. You answered it, the Wiseman and Kongu thing. I think if Andre opts out, it's going to impact their draft strategy, and I think the Cavs being enamored with James Wiseman is making more and more sense if this actually is the case.
My official take here is that it would be better for both parties for Andre Drummond and the Cavs to break up. Like, no, oh, just do it sure. Now.
I mean, you're of the mentality if they draft a James Wiseman, they trade Andre Drummond immediately, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to get messy real quick, real bad, real fast. And, you know, if Andre really wants to get out of Cleveland, Chris, I can drive him to the airport myself, and thanks to our friends at Rock Auto, my car is safe for the road and reliable that I can drive him from wherever Andre's staying in Cleveland to Hopkins, no problem. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional store chain front. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Gotta breathe real quick. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out at rockauto.com.
And with that, we're going to take one more break, come back, and talk about just some other kind of Colin Sexton-y things right after this. All right, we're back here on Lockdown Cavs. Chris Manning, Evan Damrell. Evan, you came up with this segment.
I did.
Let's talk about it.
I spoke with a GM, not a GM, an executive from a certain team that is in the bubble. I'll spill that much beans because people were asking me, and I was actually talking to them about a different Cavs player, but they gave Colin Sexton a really glowing compliment, saying that Sexton's growth and trajectory is something most teams, if not every team in the NBA, didn't expect. I believe Cleveland included, even though they really gassed him up as much as they do. And he's like, I can't really put a cap on Colin's ceiling at this point, and his growth has just been phenomenal and incredible, and especially at 8th overall, which historically isn't a great pick. It just really puts Cleveland in a good place and for success going forward, and I think that's huge for Colin. And I started to like build a story a bit around that, because I did have some thoughts on Colin's season, just how like he's jumped from jump to jump from his rookie, from the beginning of his rookie year to the end of his rookie year, from the beginning of his sophomore season to whenever the season ended for the Cavs in mid-March. I originally was going to talk about how he should have been a legitimate most improved player candidate, but if you start looking at the guys at the top of the list, it's Brandon Ingram, it's Luka Doncic, it's players that are playing playoff basketball right now and meaningful basketball and like winning basketball, and Colin doesn't have that, so walked it back a little bit and talked about that, and I started thinking about what is his ceiling, because I know, Pete, this is a thorn in our listeners' sides where we talk about how maybe we view Colin as a sixth man, and maybe Cavs Twitter broke me a little bit on this, but I walked it back, but friend of me in the pod, Justin Rowan, kind of put this bug in my ear that Colin's sophomore stats are comparable to Donovan Mitchell's sophomore stats, season-wise, not college-wise, because Donovan Mitchell's an older player, but and there's potential for Colin to be a minier version of Donovan Mitchell if his he's able to tap into that 6'6 wingspan of his and be a competent enough defender. And I think you and I have talked about this too, where Colin can be a good defender. He can't be world beater like Eric Bledsoe, but he has the physical skill set. It's just more so him adapting to playing the two guard. And I think maybe Donovan Mitchell is a more realistic comp. And I know you hate player comps, Chris, but I'm starting to see it more and more with Colin.
Here's the little concern I would have with that. And it's hard for me to know some of this stuff, and I think about this a lot with certain guys in the Cavs, that like we have not seen them raise the... Donovan Mitchell goes in like a really good situation. Colin Sexton did not.
I talked about that too. Like Donovan Mitchell went to a team that made the playoffs the year before, and then they made the playoffs again. Like he had a really good situation that he ended up in. Colin Sexton went to a team that just lost LeBron James and then fired Tyronn Lue less than 10 games in the season and then jettisoned most of its veterans and lost Kevin Love. Like Colin Sexton went to a pretty bad situation his rookie year.
The other area where I'm a little hesitant to dive into this is just that if you look at the advanced numbers, Mitchell was like a positive value of a replacement player like from day one. And Sexton was not. Secondly, I think Mitchell's ability to pass is just is more advanced than Sexton's. That to me is like the big knock on this with Colin. It's just like I need to see him pass guys open a little bit, kind of be that kind of lead creator, not just a lead scorer. Like I think the scoring stuff is actually pretty interesting. I'm open to talking about that. But I think the limitations of him as a creator are kind of what holds me back from being like, yes. And just the fact that, like, I think Colin helps you, and I think he can be a good player on a good team, and I'm in on him being a part of, like, the next good Cavs team if it can exist in the next decade or something. But I need a little more to know, like, is he the guy that, like, is he Mitchell in the sense, like, you're going to entrust him to kind of make the right play of the game? Because I don't know if that's, like, quite Sexton's DNA, and that doesn't mean he's bad. It just, I don't know if that's the right path.
Well, in terms of playmaking, we saw a little bit of Colin's game unlocking when JB took over and just dumped down the offense and made it more of a pick-and-roll heavy offense and catering it more so to, I think, believe the skill set of the guards and the personnel instead of John Boehlein trying to force the players to fit into his rotations and sets and everything else that he had because, I mean, polar bears and everything else. But, God, do you remember that?
I blocked a lot of that out of my brain.
That's fair, that's fair. No, it's just... I can see what you mean, and maybe, I don't know. I think, like, Don is a good comp for Colin, and I guess my question for you is, the way Colin is heading, I know we talked, there's always been talk about Lou Williams being considered as a all-star with the Clippers just because of how phenomenal he is. Do you think Colin could flirt with all-star status someday in this league?
Yeah. I think, like, his ceiling's probably, like, if the everything clicks for him and he ends up on good teams and stuff like that, I think, like, sixth man of the year candidate, fringe all-star guy is probably his ceiling.
Sixth man of the year, Chris. That's a no-no term.
So here's the thing. I hate this. I think like, Colin Sexton's, like, the best way I feel like to juice him is, like, let him, like, lead bench units. Even if he starts, like, sub him out early. And then have him lead bench units where he can, like, juice a bunch of stuff up.
No,
I agree. If I was the Cavs, the thing I would want to see a lot of next year is, like, him plus Larry Nance leading bench units.
No, I agree. And from a marketing perspective, Sixth Man of the Year is such a great thing to
the
throw
The t-shirts
around.
Print themselves.
The Cleveland t-shirt economy would be booming with Sixth Man of the Year t-shirts. And
I'm glad you picked that instead of like a more not safe for work. Like,
no, it works out just because you swap the E and the I, and it's still like, and you just put his like, okay, I'm not trying to dog on Colin here, but he makes some of the funniest faces if you go through like image databases because he's so intense at all times. Like, you could get some really good t-shirts with that too. But
he's the second best GIF person besides Colin, like Kevin Love on the Cavs.
Oh, Kevin Love's just got a lot of that dry, sarcastic, like, are you kidding me reactions that I feel on a very deep level. But no, Colin, when he puts his hands on his knees, that's still like, I think if you go on like my Twitter, like on my phone, if you click on like GIF or GIF, however you want to pronounce it, him bending over and like staring down, I think it was in at Penny Hardaway's kid or no.
Yes.
Okay. It was Penny Hardaway's kid. That's a top moment. That's what I like kind of grew bullish on Sexton, but like, I think your assessment's correct. I think he should be a Sixth Man of the Year candidate, and I'm not saying that's an indictment on him as a player. It doesn't matter if you start, it's how you finish, as cliche as that sounds. Colin will finish plenty of games in his career, but I'm still firmly the mentality that Garland and Sexton don't work, and if you put a big guard next to Darius, if he's your point guard of the future, to mask some, like an Avery Bradley-style type, with Isaiah Thomas as his pairing is like my comparison of pulling out of my ass right now. That's a lot more sustainable than watching Colin and Darius get shredded on defense every single game. Like, the one's enough.
Yeah.
But this is a pro-Colin Sexton segment.
So, I think he's really good.
I do, too.
I think, like, the work ethic thing for him is, like, insanely real, all that stuff. I just want to see, like, it is sort of, it is not Drummond, but, like, I need to, you just at the ultimately need to see a guy kind of change away the team's floor to kind of for you to wonder, like, how good they actually are. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, like, you need to see a guy raise it, and circumstances matter, and Colin has not benefited from circumstances because the Cavs have been a tire fire ever since he got drafted, and that is not his fault. But at some point, you need to see him juice some stuff up, and I think that is worth wondering. But I also just would say, like, the Cavs don't have a guy right now, especially with how Kevin Love is used and what Kevin Love is now, that is like really a lead hub in any meaningful way, like, and that is a real limitation on this roster.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, and I guess it'll just remain to be seen what we get until, if the Cavs come back in some bubble scenario or they come back just not till next year, we'll kind of have a better idea. But I think we're starting to get a tangible idea of what Colin Sexton is going to be, at least. Yes. I hope. But
yeah,
I
he's
think
good.
That's a good stopping point for us today.
Colin Sexton is good. That's my official take.
He'll look really nice to Ben Simmons when Ben Simmons is a Cavalier.
That's a great tease for tomorrow. We're gonna be back tomorrow talking about this Ben Simmons thing. And Evan thinks we're probably gonna fight. We're not gonna fight. But if you want to hear more about that, listen to us talk about Ben Simmons tomorrow, and then check out the Under the Bubble show again. That is in there. We have two Under the Wubble show coming this week, Under the Bubble, and then Book Club coming later this week. And we're going to keep chugging along here in Lockdown Cavs. But for myself, for Evan, this has been your Monday episode. Thanks for listening.
Go Cavs.